broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Johnny Beaner is in the studio here with me. Johnny, great to have you here tonight. Thanks for hanging out.
Of course.
Yeah. Madison-based Johnny Beaner. We'll get to some dates where you can see Johnny coming up. Right now, we're going to turn our attention. 50 years ago today, Hank Aaron broke the home run record. It was 714 by Babe Ruth. He hit his 715th today. And it's the 50-year anniversary of that. So I thought, what better way to have an excuse to talk to Mike Clemens, who joins us now. Hey, Mike.
Hey, you know something? When you sent me a note earlier this afternoon about coming on the show, I mean, there hasn't been anything on this, right?
What do you mean?
Have you been bombarded with 50th anniversary stories of
no.
Henry Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's home run record?
You know, Mike,
I haven't seen anything.
It's funny you say that, because I kind of feel like, as great as he is, and to me, he might be the greatest baseball player of all time, I don't think his name gets mentioned as well, as much as it should at all, really, as great as he was. So, yeah, you're right.
Well, you know, he's an easygoing guy. You know, Henry Aaron was this terrific batter, and the way the wrist snapped through, even when he was a young kid, and getting like 20 or 30 home runs in the mid-50s when he played for the Milwaukee Braves, and they built and they built and they got themselves up to 57, and they won the World Series. And then they still had a great lineup left over, and that's when, you know, teams didn't move around, players didn't move around so much. A lot of those guys were still in that 57 team when they played their final year, 64, 65, before they moved to Atlanta, and he stayed with the team. But like the year before, I was looking up his stats, he hit 40 home runs and came one shy in 73 of breaking the Babe's record that year. And he needed to get to 715 to be the new all-time home run hitter. And he was 39 years old. 39 years old. And so that means that, you know, he was in his early 40s when he played for that year or two when he came back to Milwaukee. But Bud Selig loved him. He always appreciated Milwaukee and the Braves fans and all that to finish up his career as a Brewer. But yeah, 50 years ago tonight.
That was really cool. I remember I lived in Chicago at the time, but my mom's family lived in Milwaukee, and we would come up to tailgate at County Stadium, and my aunt did some work for the city. She gave us all pictures, frame pictures of Henry Aaron, and that was the first introduction I ever had to him. I didn't have any idea how great he was. I was just a little kid, but such an iconic moment when he's rounding the bases and that photographer is chasing him. I mean, it's just one of those moments in my life that sticks in my head, like it does for so many people, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you know, he gets the hit off of Al Dowling. You know, there's all this pressure, too. I mean, because he's down, you know, our family, I was a kid. We moved around a lot when I was a kid. And we lived in Milwaukee, and then Chicago, and then Cleveland, then Atlanta. We'd move like every 2 years or so. My dad kept on being moved with his company. But we're in Atlanta, and now, you know, our next-door neighbors were great people. And I felt like we were an integrated community, but our neighbors, you know, this 10, 13-year-old kid that lived next door was up front. One time we were out for a ride. And out in the country, which is now completely covered, you know, Atlanta's like L.A. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
But there was this little country thing and a little country road, and there was a little red brick sort of looking like a church. He says, you see that building? And it still had a sign on it, KKK. It was still the building of the Klan that was probably very active in the 30s and 40s was still sitting there in the early 70s. And, you know, Henry Aaron talked about this years later in documentaries and interviews, that he was getting so much mail from people that were excited about baseball history or asking for an autograph or something like that, and then the hate mail, you know, and the words that they used at him and the threats that he received, like, you better not break Babe Ruth's records, you blankety blank. And
right.
And he went through all that, and everybody in the team knew about it, and the league knew about it, and the security had to be tightened. So he smacks that ball over the Fulton County Stadium fence, which, by the way, they've still got a portion of that fence. I saw this a couple of years ago. They saved that little part of the fence out there in
nice.
Town so you can see where it actually happened. He's rounded the bases, and there's two college kids out there, you know, just having fun and out there. And as you mentioned, the photographer, his parents, his mom was actually there too and gave him a big hug when he finally got around home. But, you know, it was a sense of relief for everybody. It was a sense for Major League Baseball. Like, you know, okay, phew. I'm coming. They didn't know there's going to be some guy out there, you know, in the second deck with a rifle or something. Who knew?
Right.
Who knew what was going to go on? So a great moment and a great feat. He was such a master at hitting the home run ball. There was a great piece that I read several years ago, and probably at the time when people still trying to analyze the swing of a Henry Aaron and other sluggers in baseball. They said one of the things about Babe, you know, Babe Ruth had such a strange build. You know, big belly, kind of skinny arms. You've ever seen those?
He didn't look like an athlete.
Yeah, those little black and whites of him rounding the bases, right? there were some scientists in the 30s that brought him in, and they used strobe lights. I think I actually got this in a psychology class that I took. But science then, and they had some pretty good science, actually determined that what Babe Ruth had wasn't so much the power or the swing of the bat. He had incredible vision. With using strobe lights, you know, our eyes all work like, you know, flash frames, like little movie cameras, right?
Right.
Well, you know, he was maybe working at 40 frames per second. I mean, he just had a better, clear picture of seeing the ball come out of the pitcher's hands, which is why he could square up and hit 60 home runs in a year or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And the, you know, the same thing with Aaron is just is to how sweet his swing was. And, you know, just Bud Selig, and I never got to meet him. I really failed. There's a couple of opportunities where I probably got into some kind of a press conference where he was being honored in his last years. And you know, he passed away just a couple of years ago. How old was he? I think he was...
38, believe it or not.
No. No, he was 86. Passed away in Georgia. I'll tell you a quick story. It's like 65, and I said we lived in Milwaukee. My father managed a shoe store in downtown Milwaukee, and he said young man came in and picked the two finest shoes that they had and just took them right over, like easiest sell of the day, right?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, great. He says, would you like to be part of our preferred customer club? Yeah, sure. All right, great. Can we? And so he's got the little, you know, name, address, city, that kind of thing to fill out. And he says, and what's your name? Aaron. Okay, Aaron, and what's your last name? That is my last name. And so my dad said, okay, what's your first name? Henry. And then my dad looks up like, oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Mr. Aaron. I didn't realize it was you. You know, Hank Aaron. Good Lord, yeah. Hey, here's your shoes. Thanks for being a customer here.
So, like, well, he's just not even, it's not even on his radar that he would come in there or something. I mean,
right.
I guess I could see how that could happen.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but it was also just so how, you know, Hank Aaron's sense of humor, humility, just a guy,
yeah.
You know, on a weeknight when he had off, didn't have to play at the ballpark, picked up two nice-looking dress shoes at this downtown shoe store in Milwaukee.
That's
and,
great.
You know, my father loved that story forever.
So, Mike, I really, as always, appreciate you jumping on. Where ESPN ranks the top three baseball players, they have Aaron is third, then Willie Mays, and then Babe Ruth. This
yeah, you
is
know,
something
people like Costas and those guys, it's the fielding. Willie Mays.
Yeah.
The
and
duration
I don't think he played
career,
as long. Yeah.
No, he had a long career. The duration of the career... the availability, some of the things that he overcame, they still say that maybe he was, in fact. And, you know, of course, it's like Ruth. I mean, if he'd taken care of himself, you know, how much more production could he have possibly had? Because he just totally abused himself all the time. So,
yeah.
I trust the argument for guys that say Willie Mays is still the greatest player of all time.
Oh, interesting. So you go Mays, Ruth, Aaron, or Mays, Aaron, Ruth?
Because I would probably say Mays, Ruth, and Aaron. Yeah.
Okay. It's tough because Ruth was a great pitcher too. Apparently,
at the start, he was outstanding pitcher. Yeah. Starting out with the Red Sox.
But he didn't play in an interracial league for the most part, right? I mean,
that's another point.
How do you even measure that? That's why, to me, it's like I'd probably go Aaron just by his numbers. Mays, Ruth? I don't know.
Oh, I think he passed away by the time Jackie Robinson got in.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. That's why you're the sports guy, Mike. And Johnny's giving me nothing here. He says he's not a sports fan.
I just realized we were talking about baseball about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, Mike, thanks so much for your time today, buddy. Yeah. Thanks as always, pal. You're the best.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, you got it. That's Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own Mike Clemens. Conrad, what do you think? What do you rank the baseball players?
See, I would do the same thing you said. I think I'd put Aaron up there on top, and then I'd put Mays, and then Babe Ruth.
Yeah. And I know you're just going to agree with us, John.
No Mickey Mantle.
No Mickey Mantle. What about Joe Slobotnik, Charlie Brown's favorite baseball player? Yeah, well, it's a good argument. It's different with baseball because they did have the separate leagues for the separate races. So who knows? But all right, Johnny Beaner is here. We're going to jump back into a little bit of comedy. I'm going to ask, we're going to talk about the other Madison Room. This is kind of funny because it was called Funny Business. It was like a block away.
That was the one where it was on the left side. So they're in their third space. I never did the first space. I did the second space. Oh. So the one you're talking about was across the street and upstairs. And then when I did it, it was on the other side upstairs. Oh, no kidding. Now it's below us.
Wow.
So I never did it when it was actually Funny Business. But I mean, a lot of my,
that's interesting. That was a good room too, but it could have used a little bit more of the disciplining the audiences or training the audiences, I guess you would say. The Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Indie film situation here in Wisconsin. I see someone is filming right outside the window here, some type of independent film or some type of independent something. Matt Miller is my guest from On Milwaukee. He is the entertainment reporter there and covers a whole bunch of stuff and does great work. Matt, well, I loved Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. I just thought I wanted him to win so bad. And I know he's from Wisconsin and that's great, but did you love his performance in that?
I did. And I know that was a very divisive performance because it's very big. It's very broadly comedic. He's making big choices. I love those choices. I think it's such a funny, it's very kind of Kevin Kline in A Fish Called Wanda, just kind of going big
ridiculous.
And I love that. You know, it is wild that one of the biggest Oscar movies of the year was basically a sex comedy.
Right.
And I think Mark Ruffalo kind of gets a reputation as, you know, kind of, you know, this very, you know, overly serious actor. And it was nice to see him be like, I can be really loose and funny as well. And especially in a Yorgos movie where people's performances can be very intentionally stiff or intentionally kind of almost inhuman. I love how bouncy and weird his performance is. I really enjoyed him in that. And I think Willem Dafoe is also great in that, playing a character weirdly a heartfelt character despite being the monster of the movie. It's such a, I'm kind of surprised that they went with the more comedic Ruffalo over the oddly more emotional Dafoe character in that film, but it's a strange movie, and of course they went with the strangest possible supporting actor pick.
They did, and it's a great comp with The Fish Called Wanda. I love it. It was just so funny to me how he was so frustrated by her. Did you see Roadhouse, Matt?
Both the new and the old, and I did not. Watching the original Roadhouse and like watching the new Roadhouse is like having a favorite dive bar and then going to the bar again, and like they totally remodeled it, and it now looks like an IKEA or like an Apple store. Like that's the vibe between the two movies. The original is so uniquely sexy and brutal and scuzzy and so perfect and entertaining and perfectly shot. And it has such a texture to it. And then you see the new one and it doesn't know if it wants to be serious or silly. And it's all CGI now. And it just does not, it doesn't have the sex appeal to it anymore. Right. Like it bummed me out watching that new Roadhouse.
It didn't have the sex appeal despite the exotic location. And none of the characters were likable to me. Like, and I don't have to like a character as long as there's someone interesting, but I don't know. It just didn't land for me. So.
Yeah. And like, again, you have in the original movie, you know, Patrick Swayze is so handsome and such a fascinating character. Yeah. And like, there is like, you know, that movie just loves him and his body, and that movie is into like the sexual chemistry between the two leads and even between Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott. And then you see this one and it's just devoid of any of that energy, any of that chemistry. And they try to have, I guess, like a romance in the movie, but it utterly and completely does not register. And again, I think part of that is the movie doesn't know if it wants to be a serious movie about like a violent, damaged man, or if it wants to be a silly kind of Roadhouse movie, and the result is a waste of your time.
Yeah, I agree. It could have used a Sam Elliott type character, which it didn't have.
It really needed a Sam Elliott, which, my gosh, Sam Elliott in the original Roadhouse, I mean...
Best thing maybe about
Maybe the handsomest, coolest man who's ever existed.
Matt, what can you recommend? What are you watching?
So we've been watching a lot of Top Chef, especially with the Wisconsin
season. Oh, you were into that last
time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, now we've been watching the new season. It's been pretty good so far. I'm waiting for the drama to kick in. I'm waiting for, you know, some of the spice to get thrown in, some of the flavor, especially this last episode where, you know, they had this cheese challenge, but then everyone decided to make croquettes, which felt very, as television goes, it was very repetitive. Okay. But you know, I'm excited. I'm happy to see Dan Jacobs is representing well so far. He's not only sticking around, but kind of floating near the top of the croup. So, I've been really enjoying that. And I always like to go back and rewatch 30 Rock. That's always a great one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great TV show.
Love it.
And I'm hoping to dabble. I'm very intrigued by this kind of game reality show called The Traitors. And I don't know if you've been watching or hearing about that.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it yet, though.
Yeah, I want to start with the British one because everyone seems to really like the British one a lot. It's basically kind of like The Mole a little bit. If you remember the old ABC game show, The Mole, where it or if you played Mafia or in school, where you know there's people who are traitors in this group, and people have to figure out who's a traitor and who's a good guy. It seems like a kind of fun kind of game show premise because we are in this awkward phase right now of, you know, the strike aftermath where there's just not a lot of scripted stuff out there. So that's why you're seeing a lot of reality shows, a lot of game shows on TV because they're still playing catch up.
I can't believe we're seeing as much stuff as we are, actually. Some of these shows, I feel like they were secretly shooting because it's like FBI, all the Dick Wolf shows are on somehow. They must have gotten so much stuff in the can before the strike even happened.
Yeah, or they had a bunch of stuff in the can already,
and
now they're hopping back on shoot, which I think might have been the original case. A lot of those shows, like a lot of those FBI, and those churn out fast. You know, that's why those shows are some of the rare shows that still have long TV seasons, is because they're able to crank those out so fast and so efficiently.
Well said, buddy. Listen, have a great time at the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's been so, anytime I've been there, I've just loved it. It's such a great event. I encourage people to go, and maybe we'll check in with you after. We'd love to hear what you thought of it, but I appreciate you taking time out. I know you're swamped, and have a great night.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I will say the Oriental tends to keep a bunch of those movies after the film festival. So if you missed out on one, keep an eye on the Oriental and Downer. They might be bringing some of them back if they're really loved or if they're a popular choice. So keep an eye out. Go to the movies.
Yeah, go. I love it. All right. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Anytime. All right. That's Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. check out the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's a great festival. We are blessed here in Wisconsin. We've had people from the Green Bay Festival on the show. They have an event coming up, don't they, Conrad? Did we miss it? We got to have those guys back on.
Yeah.
Nick and Caitlin, yeah. So check out the Milwaukee Film Festival if you're around. And they have beautiful theaters, too. That Downer Theater, that's so cool they're using that again. The Oriental Theater. Did you go, when you were at UWM, did you go to the
I did Oriental? Not, and I should have. I definitely should have.
You've never been to the Oriental?
Yeah, I don't think I have.
Oh, it's a great theater. So do we have time for a clip? We're going to bring Don in, but I don't want to.
We only have about a minute.
What the heck are we supposed to talk about for a minute?
Well, I can tell you who I changed my name to.
I don't even get out of bed for a minute. Okay, what'd you change your name to?
In honor of my favorite Brewer baseball player, I'll change my name to Prince.
Prince Fielder?
Prince Krieger.
Oh, well, right. But I mean, was it Prince Fielder?
It was, yeah.
Oh, nice. So you're a little tyke. You remember him, though.
Yeah, of course. He was definitely my favorite player growing
baseball
up.
Baseball names. All right, that's what we're going to go. Before the end of the show, I will have a new baseball. I will have a new name. All right. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. By design, I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there, but probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a past. Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba. Tom Cridland, he is a Elton John tribute artist. He has a show in Madison, April 18th, that starts at 7:30. Tickets are crazy affordable. He's incredibly talented. Tom, we're going to play one of your songs that you sent us, okay? So we'll give people a taste of what they could hear if they come see the show. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. Thank you, Pete.
Conrad, let's hear some Rocket Man.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be job 5 days a week. I'm a rock.
is Tom Cridlin. Not Elton John, but it sounded pretty doggone good, Tom. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is just one of the songs you can hear if you check out Tom's show at the Barrymore Theater April 18th. Tickets are crazy affordable. And Tom, just unlike Elton John, you can find Tom on social media. Tell them again where they can make a request, Tom.
At Tom Elton Tribute. And if you just look up Tom's Elton Tribute,
okay,
you'll find our website and all our social media handles there.
We got some nice text, actually, while the song was playing. Catherine from the 773 said, wow, that sounds amazing. And Robert from the 608 says, does Dude have a live band play with him? And yes, you do, of course. Right, Tom?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures on the site. It looks great. What are your favorite Elton John songs to listen to and to perform?
Well, I love listening to and performing Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding from Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, because it's, you know, I think a lot of people think of Elton John just with like Rocket Man, Tiny Dancer, and some of those bigger hits, you know, Crocodile Rock, Benny and the Jets, all that sort of thing. And some people don't even know about Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding, and that's just such a masterpiece. But there are so many. Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, or Burn Down the Mission, Take Me to the Pilot. But I also love playing the hits, like the ones that I just mentioned, or Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I guess that's why they call it the blues. I mean, you know, I don't tire of playing these songs, and I guess that's lucky.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, do you do your song in concert?
Of course.
And Tiny Dancer.
And I love,
I'm sure you get sick of playing song. Those, but those are, to me, I love the more anthem songs that I grew up listening to. Crocodile Rock, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, great songs. But Tiny Dancer is a masterpiece to me. I just love where the song goes from a composition standpoint. It's so beautiful. And what do you like to listen to? Like, when you're not listening to Elton John, who are your musical influences, Tom?
Well, I love bands who have great harmonies and melodies. So, you know, the Beach Boys, the Bee Gees, the Eagles, Little River Band. Nice. I love that era of 70s soft rock musicianship. I love Toto. I love Bill Champlin and Chicago. I'm not ashamed to say that I love Chicago 16 and Chicago 17. I love, you know, David Foster in that era, Jay Graydon, who did the guitar solo on Steely Dan Peg, but I love Earth, Wind & Fire when they hooked up with David Foster. It's that kind of, you know, I guess a lot of people would call it yacht rock. I love yacht rock. But a lot of the guys who make this music, who I've been lucky enough to meet, they don't seem to like that term that much. I mean, I don't think they get that upset about it. But you know, a lot of people call it West Coast. But then I also love British rock and roll, like the Beatles, The Who, that type of thing. Although when I went to see The Who in Detroit last year, it looked like they were about to have a brawl on stage, and I think I was lucky to see them, because I also see that Roger Daltrey said that he's not got long left or something like that. But I love that classic British rock.
My guest is Tom Cridlin. Well, you can check him out at the Barrymore Theater April 18th in Madison if you're in the Madison area, and his performance of Tom Elton Trip. Tell me again, Tom. I keep screwing that up.
Tom's Elton Tribute.
Okay, I want to call you Elton Tom. That's what's messing me up, you know.
Elton Tom is one option, and there's also El Tom John.
Oh, I like that too. Oh, yeah. Dude, that's fantastic. You know, one of my favorite Elton John songs is, I guess that's why they call it the blues, and I don't hear that as much on the radio anymore. I mean, it's been years since it's been popular, but I think that's one of his best songs, personally.
That would be in my top five favorite songs, and we play that every single night.
Oh, fantastic. What are your favorite venues to play when you're traveling?
My favorite venues to play, I mean, well, I would say one venue stands out in terms of being a turning point for us, which is McKelligan Canyon Amphitheater in Texas. That really is a fantastic venue. And it was last year that we played there in front of 1,500 people.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of like Red Rocks. It's got that kind of atmosphere in the canyon. So that was incredible. And it was quite a turning point because that gig came as a result of the year before when we just started playing. And, you know, I'd barely learned piano in the first year of us gigging. Wow. And it's been quite a sharp progression. And so during that year, we drove 9 hours to go to El Paso. This bar booked us. There were two people there. I was like, oh, my God, why did we bother? Why do we drive all the way here for two people? Like, at the end of my tether, still, you know, put on all the Elton John gear, tried my best as if we were playing Wembley Stadium. And one of the two people ran, like, Kiss FM in El Paso and did the bookings for this huge summer concert series. So they booked us and they were like, yeah, come back. There'll be 1,500 people there. You'll be the headline act, 2 hours. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm not making that mistake again. But obviously, you know, I trusted her. And we came back and it was just wild, you know, and a great audience as well. Like, it was a very, very big turning point. And this year we're very excited to come and play the Barrymore Theatre. And we're, you know, we've been really enjoying playing theatres. There are so many brilliant ones. And as I play in a three-piece, you know, like Elton's original band with Nigel Olsen and Dee Murray, this is a three-piece band, like very authentic to the 70s sound of Elton John when he first started. One thing that we're really stoked about is that we're playing at the Troubadour, which, of course, was the famous gig in 1970. Elton's first ever gig in America was at the Troubadour in LA. So we've got that little bit of history. And being friends with Nigel Olsen, his drummer, you know, I mean, Nigel says he's going to be there in the audience, so I'm going to be very nervous. but it's pretty wild, you know, when you're as much of an Elton John fan as I am, to be playing the Troubadour in front of Nigel Olsen, who was one of the three people on stage, including Elton. It was Elton, Dee, and Nigel.
So, wow.
That's going to be a real exciting thing for me and the other two guys in my band.
You kind of just answered it, but my next question was going to be, have you met Elton John? So he's seen you play?
Elton hasn't seen me play.
Oh, okay.
No, that will be Nigel. Nigel, his drummer, will be in the audience. Elton, I have met last year, though, at his Oscar party in LA, and that was fantastic. You know, it's obviously,
how'd you score those tickets?
I think more or less anyone can attend, but okay. Where the luck came in was that we were on the table next to him, because 1,000 people go to that party, you know, it's a fundraiser. So it's not like Elton's invited me into his kitchen for a cup of tea.
Well, I've tried to get into his house and he told me to beat it. So I'm impressed with the fact that you got,
well, then you met him. Then that counts.
Yeah.
That
not
counts
under very good circumstances. So how many days a year are you on the road, Tom?
Well, at the moment, quite a lot. We're basically on tour more or less solidly till February.
Oh, nice. Year. Very nice.
So this is you know, quite a lot, lengthy tour. After that, we'll probably take a little break.
Okay. Well, that's great. But, my guest is Tom Cridlin. Have you been to... I got a couple more questions for you, and we'll do that. But I want to ask you a very important question, and that's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. My guest is Tom Cridlin. Elton Tom John tribute. We'll figure it out. Well, anyway, we're having a good time with Tom Cridlin. More with him next on Nightlight. This is Peach Wabba, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take me to another place. Oh,
Voice of my guest Tom Cridlin, who is performing at the Barrymore Theater April 18th, and he does an Elton John tribute show. It's a great show, and he is incredibly talented. We're thrilled to have him on the show tonight. And if you're in the Madison area, go check him out. Tom, have you been to Madison before?
I've never been to Madison. No, I've only been to Milwaukee.
Okay, you're gonna love Madison, and the Barrymore Theater is just this cool, quirky theater that's got great history to it in a great neighborhood in Madison called Atwood. You're going to absolutely love it, and I hope you have a great show.
Thank you, Pete.
You're welcome, and I appreciate you taking time out tonight. What we do on the show, Tom, I'm not going to let you off easy. I want to know what you're watching on TV. What can you recommend to my listeners? When you're done playing Elton John, you've rocked the house, you blew the roof off the dump, what are you sitting down to watch on TV?
Well, I'm watching at the moment the post office scandal, Mr. Bates versus the post office, which you can watch on Apple TV. Huh. And I couldn't believe, how badly the people of England, the postmasters had been wronged by the post office. And this is a true story. This is an adaptation of a true story. Which they've dramatized for television. And I guess it's shone a light on, you just have to see it.
Yeah, wow.
There were definite tears involved.
No kidding.
Just seeing what these people were going through and have gone through in real life. And we're also watching there's something on Netflix about the Prince Andrew thing, about the interview.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good. I was kind of thinking initially, do we need yet another kind of program about Epstein and about Prince Andrew and all that stuff? But it's very well done, and I love The Crown as well.
Sure.
But my all time favorites, because not everybody's seen them: The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, and something a bit more lighthearted is the UK version of The Office. Maybe everybody's seen the American version.
Oh, I love it.
Out here. But I love the UK version of The Office and Extras with Ricky Gervais as well.
Yes. I'll tell you, Tom, it's funny. I first saw the UK version of The Office, and it's so tight. There's 12 episodes. They wrap it up with the Christmas special. I boycotted the American Office for the longest time because I love the UK Office so much. Love Ricky Gervais. And his co-creator, whose name slipped.
Stephen Merchant.
Very funny. And he did a funny show called Hello Ladies on HBO that only ran for a season. But I really enjoyed that. Anyway, I eventually caved, and now I love The American Office too. But it's hard to compete with a show that only did 12 episodes, and every one of them are gold. So those are some great recommendations. Hey, I hope you have a great show in Madison. I hope you enjoy Madison, and I wish you safe travels, buddy. It was great meeting you, and break a leg.
You too, Pete. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation, so thank you very much for having me on the show.
Likewise, pal. All right, that's Tom Cridlin. Check his show out at the Barrymore Theater April 18th in Madison. If you're in the Madison area, check it out. The tickets are crazy affordable. You can find Tom's Elton tribute on social media, and he'll actually take requests if you're a big Elton John fan. So, and he just gave us some pretty cool recommendations there too. Right, Conrad?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you take some memos?
I did. I did take some memos.
All right. Cause we can't, I want to check out the post office show. That sounds great. And then our question tonight, if you got something good, get it in quick, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Do you tip? Not waiters and waitresses, cashiers, people that hand you their coffee. I want to know if you tip, because I think it's wrong. Pay your employees. That's all I'm saying. We've got some great texts tonight. And, Jane Schrader, Schrader checked in on the stream and said, great interview. I should have told Tom that. Thank you, Jane. Tom was fun to talk to, and I'm glad you're listening on the stream. That's great. On Facebook. Bridget says, sometimes I tip. Bridget is from the 818. Sometimes I tip. I ultimately think employers need to pay more and not leave it to already overcharged customers to bring the gap to a living wage for employees. I totally agree. And here's Joe from the 715 checking in. I feel bad, but no, I don't tip them. Frown face. All right. So, and as I shared about a few minutes ago, my favorite response to this is, you know, now you have to take the pay thing. Like, it's the big famous coffee place. I'm not going to name it, but it rhymes with Marbucks.
Nice.
So they actually hand you the thing to put your card in, and then the option is tip 15, 20, 25%, whatever, and then there's no thank you. And he'll say, do I want a tip? He'll say it out loud to the person in the window, and he'll go, nope, really loud. Like, you don't have to be a jerk about it. I have to admit, I was in the car, I laughed, but, you know, it's not them. It's not, I'm not mad at them. It's just the people they work for. Stop it. Pay your employees. I think we can all agree on that. If we've learned one thing tonight, Conrad.
Yeah.
We do have one more David Harbour clip, don't
yes,
we?
Yes. This
do we
is
have
from
time for it?
Yeah, Let's this do is it. This is from Violent Night.
Loved Violent Night. This is David Harbour on his birthday, he turns 49 today from Violent Night.
You just get off?
I'm taking a break between shifts, I guess you could say.
You ain't driving, are you?
I steer a little, but the reindeer do most of the work.
He's in a Santa outfit.
This is my fourth year as a Santa. How about you?
Lost count. I forget why I started doing it in the first place.
Same reason anybody does anything. The money.
Money.
This whole planet runs on greed.
It's the look on the kiddies' faces, isn't it? That's what does it for me.
That look. Yeah, that look. Lasts about 2 seconds. As soon as they're finished unwrapping, they want the next present. They want the next cool thing. That's how this world works. And kids, what kids have become, they're just like little junkies. They're little sh. They just demand. They don't believe. They just want, crave, consume. Maybe this is my last year.
Great clip. That's David Harbour. He turns 49 today. This was a fun show. I usually don't have a lot of fun hosting this show, but I did tonight.
Oh, really?
Of course not. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.